You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at the news that the State Department issued a permit for the construction of the contentious Keystone XL pipeline. First, earlier this month, President Trump released his federal budget proposal, which includes the elimination of 19 government agencies. Those include the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities. Our next guest says cuts like this to federal funding for the arts and humanities would be a huge blow not just to the arts community, but to the American economy and our ability to compete in the global marketplace. Christian Maspier joins us now. He's the author of the book Sensemaking, The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. He's co-founder and senior partner at Red Associates, a strategy consulting company based in the human sciences. Christian, thanks a lot for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's talk about the age of the algorithm. We hear all the time how big data is going to help companies improve our lives at a personal level, at the economic level. Are we in the age of the algorithm?
I think we're in the age of talking a lot about it. It seems like there's more talk about it than there really are big data things. I mean, I've been working in the business world and in the advanced sort of analytics space for a long time, and I'm yet to see really great solutions based on it. But sure, it's a time where we have access to data that we didn't have access to before, and we're just still trying to organizing it and making sense of it.
And at the same time, we hear that the humanities maybe aren't as important, arts aren't, colleges should focus more on business and data analysis, things like that. We need fewer programs in the humanities. Are we, as a culture, turning against things like the arts and the humanities at the same time?
Unfortunately, I think so, and that's why I wrote a book about it. I'm, as you can hear in my quaint accent, I'm not from America. I'm from Denmark, and when I arrived here a decade ago, I was rather surprised by sort of the general tone in the debate that I heard a lot that if you were studying, say, history or English or something like that, you were looking at a future of making hamburgers or something like that in a job that wasn't what you sort of originally hoped it would be. And I don't think that's the case. I know it isn't the case. And I think that right now we're in the middle of another sort of round of cutting down on essential components of any society. But also what I want to say in my latest book is that there are very practical skills coming out of the humanities. Not just it's a delightful thing to listen to music and hear stories and look at art, but it's also a skill of engaging with other people and other cultures, and that's a skill that is necessary for competitiveness and for businesses and so on.
Yeah, talk more about how understanding the humanities, appreciating them. You say this. We're not talking about soft skills. These are hard skills that we need in the business world if we're going to innovate and compete. How connect the dots for us?
Right. So, let's say you are in an automaker in Michigan, and you are living among people that are like you, and you want to make vehicles for, say, the Brazilian market or for the Western Chinese market or for Indonesia. And they live different lives there. They live different. It's maybe the first time a family has gotten together and bought a vehicle, and it's a big deal for them, which is different from buying your 57th, family vehicle in your family if you come from a place like Michigan. So understanding what that situation is like is absolutely crucial to organize the components of the car, how it's designed, how you think about features and so on. So this engagement with other people and understanding what's going on in their life is absolutely crucial if you make software or cars or telecom services or radio. Whenever you want to sell something to people or want to design something to people that are not like you, you need to engage in their world and their life. And the humanities is not the only place, but it certainly is a place, and I would say the best place, to train yourself in understanding what somebody else's life is like. So if you study paintings from the 1920s in France, you will have to put yourself into the position of somebody living like they did then, and seeing what they thought was beautiful and what was right and what was wrong and so on. So, and the same goes with if you listen to music from China that's 400 years old, you will have to experience the world as they saw it then. So it's sort of a training ground. The humanities is a training ground to thinking like someone that figures out what other people need and what will be helpful and how to talk to them and so on. So it's a fundamental condition of business, and right now we're undermining it.
Talking to Christian Massberg, talking about his new book, Sense Making, The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. He says we need more, not less, focus on the humanities and the arts, not because they're nice and fun, but because they're crucial to our economic success, to our creativity, our ability to innovate. Christian, can you point toward companies that maybe have gone wrong by not appreciating these skills that we can get from the humanities?
Right. I think, I mean, unfortunately, if you take a walk down the aisle of any supermarket or if you look at a lot of the products that are being produced, they are not made with much sophistication in terms of understanding people. But there are some companies that are really good at it, but we can get back to that. But if you take, I mean, a couple of days ago, there was a big scandal that YouTube, which is a Google company, was promoting people's advertising. So basically people that pay YouTube to put advertising on the channels, but doing it around very disturbing websites. So they had no ability to see, so the algorithm that they were using to place ads had no ability to see what was seen in our culture as a reasonable website to place things on and what wasn't. It was just following people. So without the contextual understanding of what is reasonable and what is good taste in our society, you can end up placing your customers' ads, like YouTube did, on completely wrong things. Another topic, another area that if we go back to the automaker, one of the big things that people are that the big automakers are promoting right now are technologies of driverless vehicles or driverless technologies, like making sure that the car stays in lane, which is a technology called lane assist. Now, if you go to India or Brazil or China, there are no lanes, and if there are lanes, then they're not accepted in the way you drive, which means that it's an absolutely ridiculous position to take in those markets to say that the car has lane assist, because that doesn't exist in the way that they drive or the way that the roads are made. So there you have a sort of a cultural misunderstanding between a place that has roads and with lanes in them, and where those lanes are accepted as a reasonable thing, yet you have other cultures that aren't like that. So that's another example of just a misunderstanding of what you promote and what you put into a vehicle.
And your solution is the title of your book, Sense Making. What do you mean when you say sense making? How can we develop this skill?
Right. Sense making is just a word I chose for the ability to synthesize several kinds of data in order to understand why we're doing what we're doing. So it would be, in the case of vehicles, it would be sales numbers and algorithms and all those kinds of things in terms of understanding how much and where and so on, but also why people are doing what they're doing. And that's a different sort of skill that maybe comes out of the human sciences, that is about observing and interpreting the world. So the good sense makers that I'm describing in the book, and I'm describing 10 different ones, it's an investor, it's a teacher, it's a conflict negotiator, it's a winemaker, so different sort of people in society that all use this skill to understand the people that they're dealing with. And what is common among them is that they all have a data-driven way of looking at the world, but also a sensitivity to other people, which is something that you can cultivate by engaging with other people, but also engaging with the different kinds of products that our culture have, which would be our songs and our music and our poetry and so on, which is a way to understand each other.
We're talking to Christian Massberg now about his new book, Sense Making, The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this in your own life, the value of training in some element of the humanities, the arts? Has it helped you outside, beyond maybe the classroom, beyond the cover of the book? What do you think about proposals to cut federal funding for the arts and the humanities? Do you think that could have positive or negative effects? What role has art played in your life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you in just a few moments. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Christian Maspier is with us. His new book is Sensemaking, The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were the arts, were the humanities part of your education? A big enough part, do you think? How did it help you, if at all? Or did you go for everything but the arts and the humanities? How did that work out for you? What do you think of the role of arts, humanities, and the kind of thinking, the kind of empathy our guest says they can provide? Does that help you in your professional life? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll bring on a caller now. Brian is with us in Lomira. Brian, hi.
Hey, how are you doing today? I got two quick ones real fast. I had a friend of mine who was absolutely brilliant. In the early days of computing, he set up a computer program to float skyscrapers on soft soil. He got to a level of company where they're promoting him, sent him back to college to take humanities courses and leave his engineering basically at the office. And that was the only way he was going to get promoted. The second little story is that Chevrolet spent a lot of time and money setting up Latin America car distributor program with a model that they had, and they brought all the cars down to Spanish-speaking countries, and the problem was is that they weren't selling. It occurred to no one at all in the marketing area that the car Nova, the Chevy Nova, translated meant actually no go. So there's a real necessity for an understanding of cross-cultural communication, languages in our country, and the capacity for understanding other cultures.
Brian, thanks a lot for that call. A couple points there, Christian. And you talk about that advancing in the job. You point out that, yeah, right out of college, say, that computer science degree or engineering degree can pay more. But the people who hit the highest levels a lot of the times and the people who really innovate, a lot of them have humanities backgrounds.
It's rather surprising, isn't it, that when you look at the discourse in the public world right now, I mean, if you listen to what people said on the campaign trail 6 months ago and what they're still saying now, is that if you have a humanities degree, you'll never make any money. Yet, if you look at census data and you look at the top 5% earners in America, three times as many people have a humanities background as computer science background. And there are all kinds of reasons for that, but it is surprising that at a certain level in the big companies of America, you got to be a rounded person. You got to have a very a cultured way of dealing with different cultures, different kinds of people, and so on. Which means that the people that really bubble up to the top are people with a history background or an arts history background, and so on. And also, if you look at the list that I have in the book of the executives, the CEOs, and the sort of the top people of our society with a background in French or history or English or something like that, it's remarkable how many of them are actually, from a world that you wouldn't think they are from. But I think it's the combination of a humanities background with a practical look at the world, or sort of a business savvy look at the world, that seems to be the combination that ends up making the most money in America. And that's not why I'm saying it. It's just a curious fact that it's not the computer scientists that make all the money. It's the humanities people.
Thanks a lot for that call, Brian. We'll go next to Rod on the line in Madison. Rod, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I have a degree in history from the University of Wisconsin. I'm retired. I had a very successful career, spent 23 years in Europe, and my history degree was invaluable. I was trained in history not to know when, but why. And I studied the culture, the music, the art and everything about a country, not just who was the king or queen. And I found I was able to deal very successfully with engineers, with scientists. One comment, Albert Speer, Minister of Munitions under the Third Reich, said one of the reasons Nazi Germany was so horrible was because everybody was trained, as he was an architect, to be totally technical, and they couldn't see the soul of what was coming.
Rod, thanks a lot for that call. A lot there. Christian, what do you think?
Well, I agree that if you want to engage, if you're American and you want to have a successful career in Europe, it is helpful to understand who are the people living there and what's their background and why do they think the way they think. And I think that's what he's talking about here. I think, though, it's important to understand that it's the combination of things. It is, my problem is that the pendulum is swinging so far towards science and technology that the only thing you ought to study if you're, I don't know, 17 years old right now is science and technology. That's the only thing that will give you a job in the future. And what I'm saying is that's too far. I don't want the other way around where we're all going to be historians and study English. We need to study a diverse set of things, and we need to be able to work together. And I think that's what he's talking about here, that he could bring the science and technology people a perspective and an understanding of why people are doing what they're doing, and that can lead to great innovations and great sort of technology as well.
Thanks for that call. Christian Maspier is with us, author of Sense Making, The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. Back to our callers now. Mark with us in Rockford, Illinois. Mark, hi.
Hi. And I think this is an excellent conversation. One of the things that Christian had just mentioned I think is so true is that when you have multiple different types of disciplines that you draw your knowledge from. For example, both my parents were artists. My dad was a commercial graphic illustrator. My mom taught art in grade school. Got a brother who never had any formal other than undergraduate, high school and grade school art, who makes his living and extremely well as a graphic illustrator. He's worked for most of the major comic book networks and companies, and he's actually a co-creator on a couple of the Cartoon Network cartoons. And what that has given me is as an attorney who uses analytical skills a lot, it's given me the ability to draw on different ways of looking at things, which allows me to approach problems from ways that escape many other people who have been, siloed into one mindset.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. So Christian, an attorney there who says his artistic background lets him approach problems from different perspectives, if I could borrow a term from art.
I would wish we had more attorneys like that. but I think in general, I think he's right on that it's the combination of perspectives and not just one perspective. And if we think that machines, in the case of algorithms and sort of computer science, is going to think for us, we're probably mistaken. And I think what we're doing right now is that we are undermining our future ability to train people, to train our kids and train, people that want to study in university and study in college, to give them other perspectives than just one. And since they're now they're closing down the National Endowments of the Arts and the National Endowment of the Humanities, which are already very small compared to what we invest in technology and science, it's sort of the final blow to a system that delivers these multiple perspectives on things. And that's scary for our companies, and it's scary for our public sector, and it's scary for our kids that they can't get to study the things that that they want to study. Some of them want to study. So I would say that if your daughter wants to study English, or if your son wants to study English and your daughter wants to study medicine, that's all fine. They're all good ways to go into the future. It's not just the engineers and the doctors that would be successful.
Mark, thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. Dee with us in Green Bay. Dee, hi.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I wanted to share with you the fact that I'm a retired professor of the humanities. I'm also a writer, so I continue with my work. And when I was a professor teaching my students literature, creative writing, and so on, I found that what they ended up becoming, and increasingly so as they became older, is very sharp and articulate ladies and gentlemen. They were highly persuasive. People, I think, gravitate towards that kind of communicator. And so I feel in any field, if you have someone who can communicate as a poet can, with very concrete and descriptive and persuasive language, success is just around the corner. I also feel that, you know, when we talk about the art of the deal, you have to speak in such a way that you are convincing. You have to understand rhetoric, and you have to understand how, if you want people to be encouraged by your work, it has to be beautiful.
Dee, thanks a lot for the call. We're just about out of time. Christian, briefly, as we wrap up, you said the pendulum has gone in the big data, algorithm, science and technology direction. Are you starting to see it come back toward the middle, where we're using a little of both sides of this?
No, I think it's going in the wrong direction. That's why I wrote a book about it. I say that, I mean, it sounds like on the debate coming out of Silicon Valley or something like that, that the only thing that'll be safe for the future is if our children learn how to code. And I would say, based on the last caller, that I think also reading and writing will be helpful. And that's basically just what I'm saying, is that we can't go away from those skills, and we are right now.
We'll leave it there for now. Christian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Christian Maspier, author of the book Sense Making: The Power of the Humanities in the Age of the Algorithm. He's co-founder and senior partner of Red Associates, a strategy consulting company based in the human sciences. Still time for you to share your thoughts on the topic. Do you see this value of humanities? Do you think we're turning too far away from it on the side of algorithms and big data? You can share your thoughts. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or post on the Central Time Facebook page.